Gertrude Meany, Reel 6. So, Gertrude, here you are at the end of the war. And could I ask you how it was you came to England?
So, yes, certainly. So it was Derek Sinkton, the officer who opened Belsen, and he was shouting out, "Who is speaking English?" So we were four girls, so I could tell you the names of all of them. We were four that lifted up, he said, "Lift up the arm." And so he said, "You four, come on, come on." And we, I'm in a truck, you call it, I always forget the word. Yes. "Come on, and we are going now to the headquarters." We didn't know what happened, we didn't know what, we arrived there, and that was near to Hamburg. And there were the British headquarters was in Germany. So we were taken to a private house, we all girls, where the British officer told us, "Look, the people, the owners are already out, this house is yours." That you can imagine the pleasure of this. Today I would feel, oh my gosh, one can't throw people of the owner of the house out. But in this time I felt wonderful. Absolutely, we all felt wonderful. We took the house off, and also this British officer said, "Look, there is a fridge, there is food, and then you get an interview and so on, so that you will have money to buy your food." And so on. And that's what it happened, and that's why we have been living over years. And meanwhile, the headquarters did find out of all three of us, that means four including me, that if our family is at home, and if you can go home. And so I was really called once to the head officer, and he said, "Unfortunately, I must tell you, you haven't got anybody at home. They're all gone. And it is all the papers from your parents, from your sister, from your mother's brothers and those. Nobody survived from the family. So what do you want to do?" So I said, "I don't want to go home. There were nobody there, because there were all, before I came to the camp and all that, they were all enemies to me. They were never, that what I didn't know, that I only got to know in this time, that I haven't got friends there, on the other side, you know, because the fact was that, as I told you, my father was well-to-do, we had a lovely home and a lovely house and a good standard of life, and that the people partly hurted it because they are Jews. Then they are doing so well. And I thought, to those people I should go back, where my people are all gone?" And that's how it was that I sat in the, when I was then engaged in the officers' mess in Germany, then I managed it to all, because they said when the message was in end, "Where, Gertie, do you want to go? Do you want to go home?" And they wanted to do anything for me. They were wonderful. The British were outstanding. No people in the world can be like that. None. Because all nations and French and all the people and all the Belgium, all thinking of themselves, but never on a second person. Only the British.
It's interesting, Gertie, because 1938 and 1939,
yeah,
Britain didn't really help Czechoslovakia. And yet, did you not feel any bitterness towards Britain because of that?
Not at all. Not at all. Absolutely not at all. Because, and my experience, I shall never, never forget. I think I told you the story with the bank manager. So that was when I had the £5, the British German money, that was all I came. So when I went to buy a loaf of bread, I said, that is no our money, go to the bank and ask them, if you think so, because British was written on it, on this note. And so I went, and the girl in the bank, and that was in the Westminster Bank, said, well, I haven't got an idea, never heard of that. He said money, that said money exists. But just a moment, if you don't mind, I will ask the manager. It seems quite important to me because it reads British on it. She came back to me and she said, please, the manager wants to speak to you. Well, I went in and he asked me from where I've got it and how I've got it and whom I am. And that I haven't got a penny to do anything. And from where are you coming? And I told him, and he exactly believed me. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done for me what he did. So he said, never mind, I tell you something. So, and I told him also that we had a bank, my first husband and I, for holiday money in Switzerland, not the capital money, but holiday money in. And he said, what a, so I said, it was the Bank of Surveillance, the Genève. And he looked at me, he straight away looked in a book, and he said, just a moment, I will call there. And he called to Switzerland. Isn't it, wasn't it wonderful? Wonderful, because he could have sent me out like nothing, without any, not even complaint I could have done. I only could have said I don't know anything. So he rang there, this bank, and the name of my first husband and I was still there, and it was still a little bit money there. So he straight away said, please send it to the bank here, and there I will inquire and pay it out. And that was my first money in England, and with no other person would have done it. Because why did he do it? For nothing. For meeting here a person like me, a foreigner, not speaking properly, not having a little room, being nobody. You know, nobody in standard of receiving a bank manager, a person. I see perhaps more later on than in the moment, because in this moment I only thought, oh, that's a wonderful will. And so he said, before anything started, I will never, never forget it. And the only thing I forgot, was it £5 or was it £10, that I forgot. That I forgot. But he said, look, here you have got this £5 so that you can buy some food, something, forget about it. When the money comes, then you will pay me. Wasn't it wonderful? Because he really gave it for nothing. The bank could have told him it's nothing here or it's I don't know. It could, he just, without only with his call to Genève, he gave me straight away the money that I really could buy me food, and I paid room for 1 week, that I all got from him, otherwise I wouldn't know where to stay.
How easy was it for you to get to Britain? Was that, you know, having sort of been born in Czechoslovakia and then having an Austrian passport when you married your husband?
Yes.
Was it easy to get to Britain after the war, or were you helped by the military people you were working for?
Yes, yes.
They helped you, did they?
They helped me so much that I can't tell you even details. They helped me through in life that I survived it at all. Because I suddenly come back to the attitude that my life has got a reason I am alive. Because otherwise, you know, also after the war, I had no money, I had no person, I had nobody. Nobody in the world.
So when you came to Britain, you knew no one at all. So what? How did you?
Well, I came to this couple where I was told, where this British officer did it. Here I was told, well, they've got a little boy, and the lady, Mrs. Cooper, is the best tennis player of Norwich. And if she can go to tennis tournament and leave the boy alone with a person, then you would be the person, would you go? And that's how I came to England.
So really you were a mother's help, were you? Would that have been your position, a mother's help?
Yes, in a way, yes.
And how did...
And that was for a year. And after a year, I then thought, well, that has got now an end. And I didn't want to be a domestic anymore. It was to me painful as well, if you can understand. I wouldn't say it to anybody else. But I thought, well, to finish my life as a servant, where I lived in a first life, where my mother had a chambermaid and a cook, and I got married, so a young girl learned in my mother's home how to cook and how to sit, and she was taken with me in my marriage, you know, as a servant.
Yeah, how did Mrs. Cooper treat you? How did you get on with her? This tennis playing Mrs. Cooper.
Very good. She was a little bit of an arrogant. And when she had parties, so she said, well, Mrs. Carpelet, will you serve us? So I said, yes. And I did. And I will never forget that one person of her guests, of especially her tennis players and her guests, asked me, from where are you coming? So I said, from Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia, she said, where is that? So that was already that I thought, oh, you don't know. I said, in Europe, I only answered, you know. And then all together, they looked upon me as a servant in the house. And that I was offended very much. It means offended hurt. I was not offended. Because I knew that I came as a servant to England. But that we be treating me like that, that wasn't expected.
So
after a year, so Mrs. Cooper said, well, now Mrs. Meany, we will arrange it that you get the permission for another year. So I said, please don't yet, because meanwhile, I met two or three old friends who did find that was in England, in a Jewish society, was a people who came to England as emigrants, and my name was under it, you know, coming from Brünn, from Czechoslovakia, as an emigrant, as a servant there and there. One of my friends, my old friends from at home, the client said, oh. And he came straight away to Norwich to see me. And he told it and to all the friends who emigrated from at home and from Vienna. So I suddenly had, well, at least 20 friends. And that helped my life. All wanted, there's one thing, all wanted to help me because they knew I came without money. But in this time I alone, perhaps don't understand it today, I couldn't have any penny for my old friends, not rather than I eat only dry bread. I couldn't do it, it was too, I said, no, I don't need it and never needed it. But then, when the 1 year was over, and I said to Mrs. Cooper, when she said she will another year give me, so I said, please don't do it yet, I don't think I want it. And then I asked one friend if he could arrange for me a room and I would start to work somewhere, but near to friends. That was my wish, because then I was not a stranger when I had a few friends there. And that's how it happened, that I had a warm room, a garçonnière, and they helped me, and I had then suddenly all my friends were looking, and all wanted all to financially help me, and I did not, because all these friends came before the war, and already with a job, and with money in England, and especially one, which unfortunately died, which had already before the war, his father belongs to the best men tailors in Austria and Hungary and in Europe, in Paris as well, and also in England, his name. So the son could straight away emigrate to England and opened a men's tailor's house. And it was off Piccadilly straight away, he took it, yes. And because he just had after my father the capital here and could do everything. And he was then a great friend of Mike as well. He was the one who, in a way, wanted to help me. And he was the one who would arrange for me the flat and so on and so on. And he was then, funny enough, yesterday, he married a girl which I knew old already at home, you know. And we were great friends, and we stayed great friends. And I only yesterday heard from the mother-in-law, because she had a son in, the son of her moved to Africa. And she about, it is now 5 or 6 years, moved, she wanted to go to the sun. And so I, funny enough, never heard from her. That means a Christmas card, that was always. And never heard from her. And only the day before yesterday, she had a sister-in-law here in London, which never was my friend. But, I knew her. And the day before yesterday, she rang me and she said, listen, Erica, the friend, died and she's not living and her son is there in Africa and still working there and he's married and he's very good, happy. But he's also ill, she said. He had, how do you call it, a trembling illness?
Multiple sclerosis, right. Is it? Yeah. No.
With him at all.
No. Did you find, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Did you find when you met your friends or when you came to England or even when you were, you know, with military government, did you talk about your experiences in the war? Did you...
About what?
Did you talk about your experiences to anyone? What you had gone through in the camp? How did they react? You know, were they... Did
then they all wanted to help me. That's all. What can we do for you? Well, we take a flat for you, we take a bank account for you. And I didn't, I was from old life, darling. You know, from old friends. To take money that was to me, I rather felt. I rather have a dry bread. I rather go and be a servant somewhere. But I couldn't have taken it. I took it all of that. I take your friendship, but nothing else. And so I take the friendship, and they are all dead except one. And with him, I am still in contact with him and his wife.
Do you find it easy to talk about your experiences in the camp?
No, quite easy.
Do you?
Yes. Doesn't mean it was, but now not anymore. It doesn't matter to me at all anymore. I feel I had the luck that I came to England, and that is the reason, really. I know when I would have got home, I would have been finished, because I would have used, you know, as I said, the property which is there is still mine, but I've got nothing out of it. Only the country, what is, of course, although very, very bad, that all the three houses belong to the country. There's nobody else there. So all the income of these houses go to the country instead of to me.
Have you not received any compensation for what you went through?
No. Yes, I'm sorry. I got one compensation that was 16,000 pounds. That was an arrangement between the Czechoslovakia and England when England did take from President, what's his name? The permission that all the gold money which belongs to Czechoslovakia went to England all over the war so that it is not lost by the Germans. And that's why that England said they want also to pay back in a way what happened. And the Czechoslovakia got it back. And then was some agreement, but it was only a little compensation. It was not the paying back, because they didn't want even to know anything about. They wanted my name and the people's name and address where it was, and inquired and paid me then 16,000 pounds for it. But it was for three houses.
I believe you married one of the members of the military government. Am I right that your husband today was a man you worked with in Germany after the war?
No, why not? It was all official. The officer's man.
He was in the
In Belgium, and so I got in the office, in an officer's mess. They haven't had anybody who could translate. That was the Derek Simpson, who was the officer who opened it, and was in the officer's mess, said, well, I take three people, the one lottie to educate the German schools via England, via English. The second one was the one of politics, and I was looking after officers' messes.
So you met your husband there, did you?
And I was already, I don't know, nearly a year in the mess when he arrived to this mess. And that was it. Then, after the finish, then when I went to Norwich, then two or three officers had my address there and came to see me there. And he came to see me twice or three times. And that was the reason. And even the Coopers invited him, and he was there with me, and that was it.
When you look back at your survival, you know, the fact that all your family, you lost all your family, but you survived, what do you think was important in keeping you going in the war?
It was in the first time after the camp and after the war, I was very unhappy, because friends of my first husband, they came back and I was in contact with them, and they told me how he died. And my father, I knew, was more or less by his secretary killed, in a way. It means he would have come, as he was Jewish as well, also in a concentration camp, perhaps. But the fact was that she wanted to have his possession, and she really put him straight away in prison. I don't know what she was written after him. That he has got money here and money there and so on. And after the war, she was not to find.
Well, Gertrude, thank you very much indeed for telling me about your wartime experiences.
Oh, it's not all. It's so much more, really. But what else would you want to know, really?
Well, it's interesting when I think back to what you went through and why you survived. You know, can you think of any factors that kept you going in the war?
No, only life.
You were saying earlier your thoughts for your husband and father kept you going, is that right?
Yeah. But they were not alive. But I know, I want to see them, I must see them, I felt I must see them. I must go back to them.
Well, Gertrude, thank you very much indeed. Yeah.
And you know, my first husband's mother was a Catholic Greek, yes? And she went she loved me, and the moment that it was coming, what is coming, so she said, never mind, I go with you. And she went with us. And she went with us and from Theresienstadt straight away to Auschwitz. We were left there, young, working, and she went in an old age transport straight away to die in Auschwitz. And she was a wonderful mother-in-law. Oh, she loved me so much.